is up. It is Tuesday. I have no freaking clue what day it is, actually. Like September 25th or something. September 25th. Thank you, Windows. This is episode 54 of Inside the Game. Hello, gentlemen. How are you? How are you doing?
Hello. Pretty good.
Yeah. Keeping busy.
Yeah.
Trying not to keep busy. These are our off months.
It has been definitely an off month, and as I look forward, I kind of have that moment of like, oh shit, you better grab something, because there's still another like crazy spell of events that's coming.
Well, it's all condensed into November. Like, November is going to be crazy.
November, fucking December, maybe have a
what?
No, like, December's supposed to be like the official off month.
It is supposed to be, but fucking
but
Santa Claus and his reindeer are going to come and have a LAN party at my house. I'm going to have to commentate that shit.
Alcoholic eggnog.
But yeah, hopefully soon. And that means we can have that normal show schedule. You know, that show schedule that at least two out of three hosts every week are able to follow. So, guys, what's up? We've got EG Idra and EG Inc. Troll Pain User not with us today. That's all I got to say about that. I don't know. I don't know.
We actually don't know where he is, by the way, so just put the speculation to rest.
Like, right, exactly. It's kind of like when Slash is not there and you just like throw it to the chat and let them go wild with it.
He's been fired. Nope, not fired.
Yeah. We got plenty to talk about, because what I did was I took last week's topic list. I just re-mailed it to the guys. Said, okay, we're going to add these few things on it. But hot off the presses, no doubt, are the DreamHack event, and more specifically, the Valencia Esports Congress. Where? What? What?
Nothing. Don't make a big deal about it.
I get it. The Valencia Esports Congress had several different panels with the thought of, you know, the taking the first step, the direction of let's create an awesome utopia of awesomeness. And I don't know if any of that shit actually happened, but I do have to say the panels were quite good. So I asked you this question. Did you tune in? Did you care? Did you have expectations?
I saw the one panel. I meant to watch a lot of them going in. I kind of still want to see some of them. But I watched the one live. It was the one with all of the CEOs or people in high places at the gaming leagues, like Sundance, Russ from NASL, Robert from DreamHack, and the other CSWC guy and whatnot. And I don't know. I was actually not particularly impressed. Like, Sundance, again, showed why he is the face of MLG. He's very, very good at speaking and explaining what's going on and just relating to the public. He's excellent at that. And he made everyone else look honestly kind of bad. Even someone like Robert, who I like a lot, and he's very, very good at expressing what he's doing. And he has, like, he's done great things. But just, and he was like one of the next best, and some of them just sounded very, very awkward and uncomfortable up there. And for a position like that, you're supposed to be relatable. You're supposed to be able to talk to the public and convey those ideas. And I was actually so kind of unimpressed, and I didn't really get that much out of it, that I haven't gone back and watched the VODs from the other portions yet. Though I think I will. I always like hearing Alex, our CEO, speak about esports, and so I think that'll...
When I heard that we were having these people join together in a place specifically for a... for a public, you know, like a, we get to ask you guys questions, you're going to answer them to the best of your ability, and it's supposed to be like a congress where, like, we're coming together to build a better future. This, as far as I could tell, and I was obviously an observer, I wasn't there, so my hope is that behind closed doors, some serious shit was had, and some people were making relationships and opening communication and furthering their causes amicably so that we could have a better future. But what was broadcasted to us, what was presented, was some of the most underwhelming given what they could have done. And it was a gigantic fluff fest. It was really, really upsetting.
This is good. So let me if I said, Jeff, great points. You now have full control over the Esports Congress for this upcoming year. What are some things that you would like to see? Was it content that was lacking? Was it the questions? Where was it kind of breaking down for you?
Yeah, I mean, the brutal honest answer for me is going to be that I probably should have prepared what I would have liked to have heard from them being put
Fair
on the spot
enough.
Like this. I would need more time. I guess my biggest point would be that for something like this, I would have liked to have seen a higher level of preparation and planning, as opposed to, you know, there was kind of like a Reddit thread on Reddit a week before. What kind of questions should I ask? Then the good ones will get asked. The question, I thought Red Eye did a good job. This is not about Red Eye.
Right.
But my problem was we had a panel of the guys running all the leagues, and I don't feel like, I don't know if anyone's coming away from that panel saying, wow, I feel really informed on how things go. I can kind of see how they feel about it. And I felt like we asked some hard-hitting questions that they needed to answer. No, not really.
I love that you brought up this point, because as I was watching this, I was like, you know what? I would love to see this panel four times with four different moderators, because I guarantee you every single one of them would take like a different sort of route, approach to the questions they would ask and the, you know, the avenues they would go down. And I agree. And again, it isn't. Red Eye did a great job with all of the stuff. He had a lot that he had to go over, but like in that sense, it would be great to see multiple perspectives. I think, though, you know, you obviously, you're trying something on your first time. I think one thing is certain is that, you know, when it comes down to the nitty gritty of esports and business, there's kind of two questions that I ask in regards to this. Is that A, who cares? And B, do we have enough to talk about?
That's actually something I took away from it. It's like, okay, that wasn't particularly satisfying, but what would I actually want them to say that they actually could say to the public without either messing up their own business interests or just letting out things that need to be private because they're dealing with other companies? It's deals that aren't done yet. They can't raise our expectations when things might fall through yet. So I'm not really sure what was supposed to come of it that we would really find particularly interesting or satisfying. I mean, it's a nice idea. It's good to have everyone together, and I think that probably was a good thing, like the fact that some of these people who may not have seen face-to-face and who are still really important within the industry, or just the fact that they are all together again, they're all in the same place, they're all discussing stuff. That part's really, really good, I would imagine. Obviously, we don't know what happened of that, but it can. It's there's potential there. But
and
for the
I
public
just want to
forum,
say, oh, go ahead. Keep going.
Pretty much what I just said. For the public forum, how much can actually come out of that? I'm not really sure. It looks nice. It's great for the fans to like let them think they're getting some insight into esports, but I don't think anything that's ever destined to be that magnificent about it.
Do you know how
and
many
I would
people
I would
there?
Willingly I would willingly accept the explanation that what Greg just basically inferred is that they can't say things that are crucial publicly for obvious reasons. And this is a first effort, like Wheat was kind of alluding to. So you don't go for the fucking guttural in the first effort, because maybe in the future this guy's like, hell no, I'm not going to that Congress. That was an assault. That was an ambush. And I get that. I understand that. I get maybe like what I'm trying to say is my expectation could have been unrealistic, but I do feel like with Wheat's idea, it'd be kind of cool to have Red Eye be the middle of the road moderator. And then I hate to say it, but put the redheaded bastard slash.
I know.
On.
I was just thinking the same thing,
you know
right?
What?
I mean,
I feel like he'd ask some of the questions, and I feel like it would generate really cool discussion. Like if one of them's just like no comment, can't say anything about that, or one of them says something that everyone in the world recognizes as fluff. But I feel like we get closer to honesty with that. I don't know.
If they're like forced to fluff about stuff, then that's almost something in itself.
I feel like that kind of expectation probably is unrealistic, but I guess that's the bar I want this held to. Like if they announce another Congress and they're like, look at all these big names coming, right now my feeling is cool. They're going to sit on a panel and they'll be like, what do you guys think? I mean, how do you guys feel about representation of teams and players? And they'll be like, well, generally I think we should just have a free market. It's fine.
Yeah.
And the other guy's like, no, I think it'd be a good idea. It's just it's going to take a lot of time and money. And then everyone's like, oh, wow, fucking help. That was shit. That was good stuff.
The mention of the free market thing also brought another thing to mind. This was the Esports Congress, the Esports Panel. There actually was not a player representative there, which I realized that the morning of and tweeted about. I think that's actually kind of silly. Like, I mean, these are the organizations that are building esports and whatnot. But at the end of the day, it is kind of the players who everyone is watching. And for us to not have any voice at all in all that was silly. And another thing was all of the panels were focused on like specific groups. Like you had all the team managers, you had all the tournament organizers and whatnot. Just specific. Yeah, I think there was a media one. I'm not sure what else there was, but it was all specific groups. So you just got people who kind of ended up being a circle jerk because everyone has the same perspective on everything and they're all facing the same problems and going about it in slightly different ways. You saw that the difference between how MLG approaches things because they have more mainstream products, whereas DreamHack is very, very much so still a gaming organization. So you got a little bit of disparity between the two organizations, but overall everyone was coming at it from the same perspective and agreed on a lot of stuff. So you didn't really get that much discussion. Like, whereas if you have someone from teams someone from tournaments and someone from the players and whatnot, then the players' side can say, well, this is the stuff that we don't like, and the team's going to address it. And it's like, well, but if we address that, then this causes these problems for us. And you can see how everyone interacts. And I think that would generate a lot more interesting discussion than everyone saying the same thing five times.
I mean, you're never going to get into necessarily that discussion about, even though there was discussion about pay-per-view, but like DreamHack's stream philosophies versus MLG's stream philosophies. Like, but maybe we need to. Like, maybe that's where
Twitch and OWN on the same panel. Let's fucking have them discuss the pros and cons of their, I don't know. I'd like more substance kind of stuff like that, is I guess what I'm trying to get at. Like,
yeah, sure.
The fluff for me was, I mean, and you know what? A lot of people really enjoyed it. And it's not fair to completely call it just fluff, because it wasn't. There was some pretty constructive stuff said. So I don't want to paint this as a failure, because I really do buy what Greg and Reed are saying.
For number two, right? Like, that's where really. And, you know, I hope that some of the feedback, some of the criticism goes. And if anyone's out there listening, like, I can come up with 1,000 ideas for panels. Like, from talking to people that have done things that we find, you know, surprising now. I like, you know what? I want to have a panel with Mark, the guy who back in 2003 was able to market Fatality when no one else was able to market a gamer the way that they did. You know, I want to hear from that guy. I want to know everything that he did and what are things being done right. And I think that it needs to benefit that side as well as all the other sides, but. It was it was good to watch. I mean, it was educational. A lot of people in chat talking about Simon from CBSI, who has been obviously getting much more involved. You look at this space and you hear about CBSI more, and you see them making these appearances, being a part of this. And he definitely has some interesting insight that comes from a not like core esports person, which I think would be really great to have more of. But. Yeah, I look forward to see what the plans are for the next one. I've heard all sorts of things about so-and-so running it and so-and-so running it, but I guess we'll just wait until the official.
I'd like a two-good host as well. Good.
Overall. No, I asked you guys. Do you know how many people were there?
No idea.
You want to guess?
At Valencia itself?
No, at the eSports Congress.
Like special guests or people watching?
No, I mean, watching, we know the numbers. It fluctuated between about 3,000 to 6,000.
Oh, online, yeah.
I'm talking about in the venue.
Oh, I don't know. Like 200, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said a couple hundred.
Yeah, about 50, maybe.
Oh.
And you got to consider how many of those were, like, other panelists on other panels. Or like,
yeah.
The only reason I bring it up is it's cool, but I wonder how much different it would have been in... You know, sorry to put it on U.S. soil, but like in San Francisco near the Twitch headquarters, or in another place that's just kind of easy for the world to meet. I don't know.
Well, yeah, question. If you're around industry people, it would have been better.
Spain's not exactly like a world headquarters for esports. I mean,
right.
If you go to Germany or Sweden, then maybe just there's more people who'd be interested in it. Then obviously, sure. Yeah, San Francisco, where there is actually a lot of the people who work in esports. But yeah, Spain was. Not the ideal location for that, but that's not what they were going for. Like, they were okay with the online community. They flew out the people who mattered.
Exactly. So, good stuff. Then, of course, the Valencia Esports Congress went into the 2012 DreamHack Open Valencia, where I'm just going to throw this out here right away, guys. I have no necessarily agenda and or syllabus for talking about this, but I was one of those guys that was actually – super surprised to see the viewership not kind of rivaling what WCS had, because WCS was kind of off the charts and it told a good story and the games were great. And I know we didn't have the show, so we didn't get to talk about it too much, but I was almost positive that we were going to see similar numbers going into the next DreamHack.
I don't know. I thought WCS had so much hype surrounding it that that really built it up. And then you had Stefano, who had a couple of storylines himself going through it. And everyone, he obviously has a huge fan base right now, so him going all the way through it pulled on a lot of fans. Plus, everyone like got their dose of esports from WCS the weekend before. And then going into Valencia, it's just like there's not as much built up around it in a lot of different ways. I'm not too surprised at all.
I mean, but, just with DreamHack doing it and all the love that they got in terms of the production and everything, I didn't think it'd be – I'm not saying it's low. I'm not jumping on that bandwagon. But obviously, WCS Europe was pretty phenomenal in terms of numbers overall.
Greg, in my opinion, hit the nail on the head. Like, you actually had a lot of the same kind of people go from one event to the next in terms of the production. Red Eye and Rachel as hosts. Apollo was one of the casters. They didn't have Tastosis, but I don't think Tastosis brings 40,000 extra viewers. For me – it's that DreamHack has a lot of novelty and a lot of production. Like, they're really exciting to look forward to. And it's a really, you know, they do a great job getting it out there, the videos, all that kind of stuff. And I think people are super excited about WCS Europe. And then with Valencia less than a week later, I think some of that charge was taken out of their sails. I think some of that excitement wasn't there. And then everything was scaled down just a little bit. I think everyone would agree the player base was great. The prize pool was great. But it's not like Valencia as a venue was being utilized. It was indoors, so we're not seeing like beautiful scenery. Not that they should have. I'm just saying it's not like Valencia itself was enough novelty to reacquire a lot of that interest from people. And as far as the production goes, it was another DreamHack show. It was fantastically ran. It was wonderfully produced, and you know, the hosts were great, the casts were great, but there was nothing really to differentiate WCS Europe from Valencia, and because of that, I think they dipped off a little bit.
I guess, you know, you made the comment about it being back-to-back, and both you guys made it, and to be honest, it's kind of a reality check a little bit, because since, in a lot of different ways, from a lot of different perspectives, this is sort of my job, you know, to just kind of keep up and watch these sorts of things, is that, I guess, as a spectator, and I see a lot of people in chat saying, there's no fucking way I'm going to waste two weekends in a row. Like, WCS is where I was at, and I went out this weekend and fucking sailed my boat and ate for roll-ups. You know, I understand. I totally understand. So that's a good point. So what did you guys watch at all? Of some interest there, obviously?
I actually almost watched almost none of Valencia, because, like, after I woke up, Stefano was already out. It was just a bunch of Terrans. And then I watched a pretty good amount of WCS.
Yeah, I watched all of WCS, obviously, but for Valencia, I definitely tuned in because I was very interested to hear Kevin Nock with a non-IPL caster, and I thought he did a great job with Apollo, but of course I think both those guys really are very accommodating for whoever the cast was, so it was kind of no surprise there. And then as far as just the raw competition itself, obviously with DeMuslim and Stefano involved, I was very interested, and even when they dropped out, there was some pretty interesting storylines that kept me watching. But I think one of the cool tests here too was the only other non, you know, winter or summer event, because of course we haven't had winter yet, was DreamHack Stockholm, which is kind of like a Bucharest or Valencia, except that it's exactly on their front door. This is where they run events anyways. So it was pretty interesting to see how they could pick up their stuff and move their show to Valencia this year with their elevated production and still, in my opinion, put on a kick-ass show. Of course, there were stream issues. People were kind of talking about that. There was a few technical glips. Glips is not really a word. I guess what I'm trying to say is there's a few glips, like
snarfs.
Mistakes. Yeah,
I think snarf is actually the snarf.
I don't even know what I was getting at. It's the funny part about like glibs, maybe. I don't know. Glips. But they were all manageable. They weren't like MLG Dallas. You know, it didn't ruin the event. So I thought it was pretty cool to see, because that gives me a lot more confidence for Bucharest coming up. Because Valencia, Bucharest, that's not Sweden, and it looks like they can take the show on the road and do a great job, and that's pretty exciting.
What about games? No. The other thing I want to ask you about was the round of eight. Then the round of eight, we'd seen, of course, the foreigner versus Korea face-off. It's basically every matchup. Korea versus foreigner. The Koreas all moved on. A lot of people in chat said, yeah, that's when I was kind of done with the tournament. What'd you guys...
Except for Targa and him moving on is even worse than the Korean moving on.
unfortunately for events, and they really have no control over this, a lot of the really entertaining players kind of dropped out earlier on. Obviously, Stefano is a big fan favorite, and his series against Tage was exciting despite losing, but then later losing to Forge G is still exciting. I think people liked watching that. After that, you know, you have the Team Liquid guys. Like, everyone likes to cheer for Tasia. That's pretty fun. His comeback against 4GG, that made for a great final, by the way. As far as TVT goes, that can be a pretty boring match. But for this, it was very exciting, especially with, you know, Rachel's kiss and basically 4GG being an alpha male as shit. That was pretty cool. And then Tasia very calmly just kind of being like, no, actually, I win tournaments. You don't really. Not yet. And coming back and doing just that. That was cool. But the matches before that, not really that interesting. I mean, some Targa did like a slow ling all in against Hero. I don't blame Targa. You know, he's paid to win, so that's fine. But it's like, as far as an observer goes, eh, you know, oh well.
Go ahead.
As far as like an all Korean or mostly Korean top eight goes, this was about as good as it get for the reason Jeff said, like 4GG style actually makes TVT relatively entertaining just because stuff's happening early on. And Tasia coming back from down 0-2, and Tasia's pretty much a fan favorite as far as Korean goes, again, just because he has been performing so incredibly well and he's on Liquid. But, yeah, it's just you lose a lot of the storylines. Everyone likes watching foreigners, and I think it would have been really, really awesome if Stefano would beat 4GG, then we had Stefano Tasia finals. But sure, that is just foreigners didn't perform particularly well, and then Koreans are harder to follow.
Can't go through the show without asking about the Targa thing.
Yeah.
Thing, comments, tweets. Some swords were drawn on the interwebs.
I mean, I'm not like the chat's obviously eating it up. They love it, and we can't move on without this. But I stayed up that night. And I cried. I heard about it, and I was like, "What the fuck." The thing is, actually, Target talks kind of like a lot of shit like that anyways. He's, it's not even just me. He's talked about how, like, North American players in general are really bad, and he's had a few choice comments about other players at other times as well. So, and people kind of tell, I've never met Target, so people just kind of say he's just kind of an honest guy like that. Like, if he doesn't think you're good, he's not going to fluff it. He's just going to say he doesn't think you're good. And I can't really fault a guy for that. And I'm in no position to get butthurt if someone doesn't think I'm good. I need to put up results before that can actually happen. So that was fine. For me, the biggest problem was where my ego actually got bruised is I think Rachel asked a stupid as shit question. And I'm sorry. Like, there's actually no good answer for that question. And unfortunately, I don't think she obviously meant it in terms of we're both big guys and I guess he powerlifts, although it's pretty obvious that he's not powerlifting a whole lot. That was like one of the ways that question could go, or the other way it goes is he's like, what are you saying? We're both kind of big guys and we play StarCraft? Like, you know, thank you. Right. So that was disappointing because I think Rachel usually does a very good job, but in this case, her random question ended up putting that guy in a hot seat where he answers truthfully, but a lot of people are giving him shit about it. And then no matter what reaction I give, by the way, any reaction at all, like I joked about it later on my own tweet, I'm getting shit either way. If I say nothing, people are like, oh, shit, based, you know, you can't say anything.
Right.
But then if I do say something, like, everyone's like, you should have fucked Jeff, God damn it, okay? What he said was a joke. What you're doing, it hits to the core, man. Like, people are getting really upset with me. So it's like, I just don't want that shit anymore. Like, I made a fucking stupid comment about Nanny at the wrong time, like shouldn't have said that, and it caused a whole bunch of drama, and since then I'm trying to stick away from that stuff, but when people drag me into it, it gets kind of boring.
I'm pretty excited. We're getting to the points where eventually someone's going to have to be like the actual person who tweets EG In Control's Twitter. There's going to be a buffer, like similar to Ashton Kutcher. He can't
it's gonna happen
himself it's gonna anymore ha- like, it's yeah. all yeah he like goes I'm okay okay
Yep.
I'd like to tell this guy to go fuck himself, but I was like, we're gonna sit on it for 24 hours, and then we're gonna look at the tweet again.
No, we need a translator. Like, we tell them what we want to say, and then they make it appropriate, and they tweet it for us.
Dude, I actually have. The only reason I'm telling this story is because I really want a pat on the back of this. I heard that, and I wrote up a tweet, and I looked at Greg, and I said, I can't send a tweet, but I need you to look at this, and he did, and we laughed because it was really mean, but it was really good. Then I was like, all right, I can't do that. So then I sent one that's just slightly less mean.
That, you know what, but, though? Yeah. Actually, you did something. I mean, I hate to, like, derail the show a little bit, but you did something that, for me, was, like, when I got my first job, it was the greatest lesson that I was ever taught, and that was that if you're going to send an email or something that you are second-guessing yourself on, then sit on that shit for 24 hours. And I cannot tell you how many fucking emails I have written and gone back and gone, like, I'm going to take all this stuff out, and I'm going to change it there. Good to go. I mean, especially in, like, the corporate world, like, promise you, it'll get you far. And writing the email is good mentally, so you can just fucking anyway.
I have 27,000 posts on Team Liquid, but if I would have posted everything I've written out, I would have, like, 55,000 posts on Liquid. I used to not have that.
And half of them would get you kicked off, EG.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm working on that filter. It's still not fully there yet. But the other part of me, too, like the balance I'm trying to walk, is I do like having fun with that stuff. Like the guy.
Of course, of course.
The guy took a jab at me, but as far as he's concerned, it's honest. That's great. It is kind of mean, though, at the end of the day. He's like, well, that doesn't feel good. He's really bad at StarCraft. We could have put it a little nicer, I think, a little bit. And instead, he didn't. So I respond in, I think, a pretty witty way. And then we're done. People are like, I can't wait when Targa and Jeff meet each other.
Guess what? Oh my god, it's gonna be awesome.
Here's my face when I see Targa. We'll be like standing around, it'll be like DreamHack or something like that. And I'll see him. Okay. And then I'll like keep looking around.
See, I imagine that, like, what people are out there writing fan fiction about is this long, drawn-out scene about how your eyes lock across from, you know, the convention center, and then you, like, both go into a dead-on sprint, and then there's, like, a double fucking lariat, and you get knocked out, but then 3 minutes later, you both wake up, and that's when the actual fight starts. But that's chapter two. You're going to have to come back next week for what happens.
Small subscription fee.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it. Speaking of which, it's not like there's no beef between me and Rachel either. Like, she didn't mean it to be a mean way. So, it's a dumb question, but we all ask dumb questions.
We do, but I think that, like, collectively, I fucking gladly put myself out there. Like, everyone, we've all asked dumb questions. But, like, we need to collectively be okay with tabling the following questions. Like, how do you feel? Unless it's the goddamn – unless they've won the fucking tournament.
Really, like, that's when I feel it's the dumbest, because it's like, obviously I'm pretty fucking
happy.
Well,
you know, I mean, you can phrase it a little bit better, Greg, you're right. But, and then the other one is, what are you going to do against player X?
Like, I did that one.
Let me sit down with you and let me talk about how I've spent the last 6 months analyzing his replays, you know? That kind of shit is great post-game, I think, right? Because you've already put everything out that you can do. But there have been lately, and I'm just talking about all. I'm talking about Dota, too. I'm talking about some League shit I've seen lately. Some good questions. We just need to fucking all retire.
Been there.
Yeah. We kind of had a weird segue there about the paying for the paying for the, you know, the chapter two of the Tarsen In Control fan fiction and the Target. Fact that Targa. And the fact that MLG has pretty much announced the plans for the fall season and how this breaks down. And a lot of people were messaging me this before the show or right as the show began, guys. So I don't necessarily have an overlay for it. But it breaks down what's going on Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Of course, you've got Axelab and Axeltoss doing the free-to-watch online qualifiers. And then on Thursday, kicking off Thursday and airing on Monday and Friday, it's going to be the pay-per-view only MVP Invitational. Now, I'm pretty sure that it was already general knowledge. It was already knowledge that it was pay-per-view. But I guess now people are, oh, shit, it is? And then they're having a MOBA night on Wednesdays. But as we come back to it, did you guys know the MVP Invitational was pay-per-view?
Yeah, I remember reading that.
Until a very short while ago. But I didn't really pay much attention, so.
I mean, thoughts on that? I guess coming...
It's like $10 for the whole thing. And honestly, yeah, that's a ton of content, and people are really, really interested in the Kespa players. And like, if you're a very, very small segment of the population, you can't afford the $10, and you really, really want to see the Kespa players in action, that sucks. But it's $10. This is a lot of entertainment. That's a perfectly reasonable price. The only qualm I have is that it is a new thing. They haven't done this exact event before. We don't know how the broadcast quality is going to be. We don't know.
I think
know.
We do, though, because it's like we've seen the arenas. I'm assuming
that's true.
This
is still a new thing, though. Like, people don't know what the entire content is going,
sure,
like what the product is going to be. They haven't seen it before.
You're right.
I can understand being a little bit iffy about paying for something that's brand new like that in an industry. I'm just like trying to explain it. Overall, I agree that it's perfectly reasonable, but paying for something that's brand new in this community where people are pretty spoiled to begin with and very, very entitled, I can see people complaining about that, but overall, I think it's pretty reasonable.
And to be
it's
fair,
a very low price.
It is an online event. So it's kind of like the arena without the players in an online event. So the desk of the arena, but obviously we don't have the skyline shots and stuff like that.
Look, it's Bassuflex. Shout out to that guy in the chat. It's $10 for 5 weeks of content. If anyone has any, like, if there's, I haven't seen the thread, but if there's any people legitimately upset about this and like complaining, you can wait. You can wait to hear the comments from people. You could check out the free stream. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to spend the $10. So that's the most amazing, in my opinion. Stop your complaining, because for that, it's like you'll know what you're purchasing. So if you purchase beforehand and you're like, but I'll fucking tell you what, if this isn't the highest quality shit, whoa, it's $10. So calm down, but also the time.
If this was Method B Blue, guys, it's fucking that good.
Yeah, we're also moving to a place where it's okay for pay models. It's not okay for a pay model that's really bad, but $10 for that kind of course of time with those players playing, the risk to reward is extremely favorable to the reward. And for me, I hope that we get to a place where people don't discuss this anymore until one event's like, hey, $10 for this great event, and then they fucking pocket the money and they're off to like Venezuela. Then we go after those people.
That's kind of the thing. Like, you know, I get a lot of emails, tweets, like, look at this link. Motherfucker, you better get on and you better yell at it. It's like, are you guys going to send me this every time there's a new NASL season?
Yeah.
Are you going to send me this every time that IPL, you know, has a subscription going on? Like, I just don't understand. I guess I just don't understand. I think we're to the point now where you're either going to choose to pay for the content you watch, GOM TV, right, OGN, IPL, NASL, MLG. They're all doing it.
That's another
Greg
thing.
Said it. Greg's right. He said, you know, we're kind of spoiled by that. And I agree with him 100%. You can pay $60 for StarCraft 2, or not even that, but you could actually go through the world of StarCraft and watch pretty much whatever the hell you want without paying a single dime. So the people that do pay, I like to think that's more of them saying, you're worth my money because you're putting on a great show, and I want to support you.
Back to what you said before, all those organizations you listed, those are pretty much the ones that they have things that you can pay for. It's like the two Korean ones, then MLG, NASL, IPL, DreamHack. Those are not organizations that are just going to take your money and run off to the Bahamas. Like, they're big organizations, they're established.
Yeah.
Esports is their thing. Like, what are people actually worried about? Like, you're going to get ripped off. Like,
right,
maybe a stream goes down for an hour or two, but especially for the long-term things like NASL, it's just there's almost no way you're not going to get your money back given how cheap everything actually is. It's just people who expect things that they don't really deserve to be able to expect because we had been running for pretty much for free for a long time.
They're like, isn't NASL something like $13 or $12 for, if not the season, then the month or something like that? Something ridiculous?
I don't know.
I mean,
everything in esports is cheap.
GSL's like, cheap. Yeah,
it's a ridiculous rate for the amount of content you can buy for these things.
Oh my gosh! Guess what? Would you be surprised in control if I told you it was $20?
Huh.
But actually, I think
the fucking audacity.
I think they do like promotional, which is great, right? Like, get the guys that are willing to put their money down early. Be like, yeah, $15. There it is.
Yeah.
Of course. Anyway, we're kind of going off topic. We're gonna be we're actually gonna be talking with someone from MLG Lee about the MVP Got a few questions for him regarding some of the invites, what we got going on, and what we can expect to see. But that'll be tomorrow during Live on 3. And I believe that starts Thursday. So, what do you guys want to talk about next? I mean, we have all this different stuff we could...
We did Valencia. I mean, I kind of want to have that spiel about the transgendered stuff.
Do you want to do that now, or do you want me to just throw out a couple of these other topics?
I didn't know we were talking about
a couple
about
of the other ones. That one's kind of a heavy hitter, I guess.
Okay. All right. Well, I've got a couple other ones here. Since you like you brought it up, and then I would just pull it back for a moment here. And that is, I saw on Reddit the Super O-Man.
Yeah.
Is retiring from map making, and I was gonna I felt like such a fucking douchebag today because I clicked on this. I'm like, okay, here it comes, man. There's gonna just be nothing but whine about how Blizzard won't do this or won't do that, and what I actually got was kind of a big fucking punch in the face and a reminder that I was just a douchebag because this blog that was written is amazing, talking about you know, his map making debut, what he's done in the, you know, in the community. And then I just started thinking about, fuck, Cloud Kingdom, like it's made its mark in the history of you know, competitive StarCraft 2 now. And of course all these other maps that he goes through and talks about as far as Brood War is concerned. And this is a fucking phenomenal read, guys. So if you haven't if you haven't had a chance to read it yet, you know, head on over and show this guy some love because it's really phenomenal. And goes on.
It's bittersweet for me because he made Cloud Kingdom one of the best maps you can play on in StarCraft II, but then he also made Testbub. Okay.
I don't like Cloud Kingdom either, so I guess. Yeah. I'm not too worried about him leaving.
What?
No,
oh,
kidding.
You're such a
kidding. Kidding.
Yeah, kidding aside, yeah.
Were you good at, was the test bug joke on, was that like for Greg specifically?
Oh, no,
he was Protoss. That was actually an awful map for him.
A really bad map.
Wait. Isn't that the one where you...
That's the one where you don't take a third base as Protoss.
Right. Didn't you cannon rush TLO on test bug too?
He can't rush jail on, like, six
maps. No, I corrugated in his base, man. Get it right.
Oh, okay. Ooh. Right on.
Can't rush. You can't can rush a Terran unless they're demuslim anyways. Hey-o!
Right. Oh, damn. He's streaming, too. He just lost that game. I hope you're fucking happy now.
But what I did want to say is the shitty thing about him... Well, not necessarily the shitty thing, because, like you said, the blog's actually really nice. It's basically him just saying, I had this really happy career. I did all this, you know, it was really fun. And he gave a big shout-out at the end to everyone involved. For me, I guess the interesting thing about the blog was that I kind of had the same effect that DJ Wheat had, where I've seen his name, I've heard about it, but then I kind of realized, you know, I don't really appreciate map makers at all. Like, I don't actually think about them or say anything about them across the board, and yet... They are literally a component of the balance for this game that I play every day, all the time, and it's like my life. So it was kind of a wake-up call for me to be, I don't know, more actively aware of them and try to support them better and be more and just appreciative at the end of the day, because he kind of talked about how happy he was when his map was played on OSL when they did the StarCraft II crossover. And he was like, I was, you know, almost in tears, and that was like the highest moment in my map making career. That's like a different world to me. I actually don't even know about it. So I don't know, it was kind of cool that way.
Yeah, the maps are just so incredibly important. Like that's the reason Brood War was balanced. That's the reason StarCraft II works now. Like, go back and play on the beta maps, the game's not playable. And in StarCraft I, they would like manipulate who won leagues by which maps they had in it. Like, just to goes to show you how important the maps actually are for balance and for gameplay as well. So yeah, they are definitely an underappreciated segment of the community.
All right. I mean, just go read the blog, guys. Give this guy some love. I mean, as these guys said, I can't really say it any better than they did. The map making is an important part, and. You know, I'd just like to use this opportunity maybe his final request as he leaves is that, at least for Christ's sakes, put some goddamn fucking neutral supply depots.
Yeah.
Fucking, I'm sorry. I'm getting flustered just thinking about it. I want to get so fucking angry right now. Yeah. It's like, this is that exact moment, Jeff, where like I have a PlayStation controller in my hand and I feel like maybe, just maybe, if I fucking bend it enough, I might be able to crack it in half. Or maybe because the way that I'm gripping it, like I turn, you know, I like just try to twist it in half. Like that's how I feel every time I get fucking three pylon blocked on goddamn it. Anyway.
Yeah, that is weird. Also, we should talk about that TSL thing.
Just like, I'm not going to mention that I like to do that all the time.
I don't do that ever. Not at one time.
I know. I'm just fine with you. We'll talk a little bit about that. We've got about 10 minutes before the break. Do we want to maybe talk a little bit about some of the hardest swarm changes? And then after our break, we'll come back, talk about the CSL, the Azubu Collegiate Champions has been announced. Because it's too bad. I'm pretty sure the doctor is more an excuse for, like, don't want to go up against the masses who are talking about the Warhound, you know. After the engaging micro discussion that occurred here on Inside the Game, the fucking Warhound was removed. And
all that exciting micro wasted, too.
Yeah, I know.
I think that, I mean, obviously, to start off, that's the most drastic change, was that they just kind of removed it as opposed to, you know, this, and this is nerfed. I think they just kind of realized that what it did to the mech army was very uninteresting. It made the mech army much more of an A move, which is pushing the game in the wrong direction, something Greg and I and everybody else kind of talked about, except for Pain User, I guess, for a long time. I kind of like the Oracle changes. I really think it's very interesting that it has a spell that for 5 seconds makes something immune to spells. Mm-hmm. Perhaps that's broken, so we'll have to see. And that's what the beta's for. So
ironically, I feel like I haven't heard that many people. Like,
no.
It has not been a straight-up crying outrage.
Well, it's because the Oracle is kind of like, you're not going to see an army with 6 Oracles hovering behind it making everything uncastable. Not yet, anyways. Maybe you will, but
yeah. I'm actually not speaking from experience because I haven't played a game of Heart of the Swarm since the patch that took out the Warhound, but just on paper, I was very happy with the changes. Like Jeff said, like pretty much everyone said, the Warhound made the game more boring, and even if you balanced it, I think it was bad for the game. And the Oracle changes, just reading the patch notes, I thought that PvZ was going to be really, really Protoss-favored after that, but I haven't played it, and I haven't heard that much outcry, so maybe not, but I really like what they did to the Oracle on principle. I actually said that, I think on the last show we did here, that the way to make the Protoss changes better is to, like, a way to integrate the Oracle into the army, not just make it, like, an annoying little harass unit.
Right.
Give it a way to actually, like, make the mid-game Protoss army something you can do something with, and make it so you don't have to just sit here and try and turtle the death ball, because that's
Absolutely.
What's incredibly boring about Protoss. And by making it something that has an effect that makes your army stronger, it can be used in interesting ways, especially that it has very specific micro. It's like, you see a bunch of Vipers coming in, you got a bunch of Colossus, shit, better cast that spell really quick, and then all of a sudden you win, or you don't, because they do it faster than you, or they right. maneuver out of position and then re-engage after the 5 seconds. It introduces really cool micro, and it's a way to make the Protoss army better, instead of just forcing Protoss to keep running around and dancing around until they get to a super army. So I think, on principle, really, really good changes, but since I haven't played it, I'm not entirely sure, like, just how powerful everything is and how well it actually fits into the game.
Jeff, they lowered it by, and I don't know if you've played a ton either, Jeff, I know that there's been obviously some downtime and whatnot, but they changed the gas from 200 to 150, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And any effect that has had as you've kind of played with it at all?
I actually, same as Greg, like, been really happy with Wings of Liberty lately, and just kind of that's where my practice has been. But as far as, I mean, the reason I say this is so everyone can kind of take what I'm about to say for the grain of salt. I haven't practiced it, but the change, in my opinion, that subtle difference is good. I thought 200 gas for something that, well, I mean, I guess the other changes to mention here is they really changed Entomb to make it much more effective. The rate, how long it lasts is a lot more, but then also the actual health of the entombed crystals themselves, or shell, or whatever they call it, that's much longer as well. So I think I think, again, it's going to be interesting because you want to look at the Oracle. They've really buffed it. Like, this is one of the more aggressive buffs I've ever seen. So I would think that it looks okay, but maybe we find out that it might be a little bit too cost-effective for the things it does now because it's got much better harass. But then, as Greg said, there's also reason to incorporate it into your army. So then it becomes it's a dual-purpose, less expensive, nice thing to have. And that might be getting too high on the reward versus risk. And that's a concept that I felt like StarCraft II is kind of plagued with anyways, where there's a lot of things, kind of like the Infestor, where it's not really a question of do you make it. It's kind of like, well, yeah, I make it because it's always good. I don't think you want to get too many things like that because then the game gets a little bit more dull, in my opinion. But the Oracle is a big spellcaster, so
Nice thing is that the Oracle also has multiple very different purposes. It is both a harass unit and a supplement unit. It's kind of like if you're going very burrow infestor harass heavy. It is a unit that potentially you just want to have always because it is so good. But then even when you do have it, you have to decide if you're going to send those off to harass or if you're going to keep them with your army as support units and whatnot. So even if it is super strong and it's just you always make it, there's still decision making in like the use of it and how you use it and whatnot. So there's still that. What Jeff said is true. Like, if there were true risk-reward, that's the best way to do it. But because spellcasts in general are just so effective in StarCraft 2, because, like, smart casting and how much everything bunches up and whatnot, spellcasts are just guaranteed to be either too good or too bad. I kind of feel like that. This might be a decent fallback for that. Try and introduce risk-reward in a different way.
Yeah. And then I think the other thing I liked about the patch, too, is they changed I think it still needs some work, but I like where they went with the Tempest. I think 22 range on it was absolutely ridiculous, but to lower it to 15, which is still one of the longest range, if not the longest range units in the game,
right,
and then give it a tremendous amount of damage to massive units, now I see it having a more niche role, but a more reasonable role. Like, it could pick out the Broodlords in a super fast manner or against Terran. It could target down the Thors, although maybe if they went pure mech, that would be a cool scenario. But I like the change. It's getting closer. And then reintroducing the carrier I thought was a no-brainer. I'm very happy with that.
Now, that was the other thing that we had on last week's notes, because Noni did a video kind of really talking about the differences between the Broodlord carrier and why it was exciting to play and why people were, you know, excited to see it when it did come out and why it had a place in high-level games. And, you know, he basically goes through – did you guys watch the video, at least catch wind of it?
No.
Okay.
So I know about it, though.
Okay, he goes through. He shows it Broodlord, then he shows it in StarCraft II. After the fact, some guy basically recreated the gameplay mechanics within StarCraft in like 48 hours, if even that long. It was probably less than that. But, you know, the concept of is like, great, you've brought the carrier back. But that really didn't, like, people are using it a little bit, but people are still not really having all the right reasons to use it. So what would you guys think? And basically, the video was about the range versus the leash range and the concept of keeping your interceptors out, not necessarily have them return to the carrier so that they can switch targets from their leash range versus their attack range.
Well, I mean, the video makes a lot of sense. Like, part of what Greg and I have been complaining about this for a long time, and a lot of other StarCraft players have too, is that the carrier in StarCraft II is an A-move unit. There's no micro, actually, that you're supposed to do at all, except for maybe some target fire. But in Brood War, it was an A-move unit that would be about 10 times more effective if microed and used skillfully. And that even if you microed it, there was actually varying degrees of how to do that in and of itself as well. So there's players that were actually super good with the carrier. Like, they'd get three or four out, and they were so fucking good with them that they made them look just amazing. That concept is something that Blizzard's going to have to tackle, because you want the nerds at the lower levels to be able to make a carrier and then be rewarded for it. And even as I say this, I'm actually self-doubting, because I don't think by adding the micro you take that away from them. I think if you add micro, it's just more rewarding to everyone. So that's part of the disappointing part for me. And basically, I'm just saying I'm in full agreement with Noni, and a lot of people have been saying that.
Greg, go ahead.
No, I didn't really have anything to add. It's just kind of agreeing.
Okay. And lastly, on the most recent patch, of course, the Warhound has been removed. Sorry, pain user. I don't think anyone necessarily is arguing with this. Reapers now have combat awareness, which is kind of cool. It's something really unique to the whole strategy and onset of StarCraft II and how it's developing. Have you guys seen this utilized at all in any of the videos?
People now have been saying that Reapers are like super ridiculously overpowered now. Apparently TBT, there's like one build that counters it, and it kind of beats everything else, and it's okay against the counter. So, again, no direct first-hand experience, but they're saying it's really, really good.
Yeah. What is it? I don't even know.
They now have combat awareness, so they can see up cliffs.
Oh, like, they so you can't cliffs?
Yeah, what? You can't trap them with circlings or whatever. They're like, you can't wait for them to jump up into units.
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
And they can do all sorts of crazy... I mean, like, imagine having a mini medevac that could just get vision for you.
Wow.
It's kind of... There's been some cool videos out there.
That basically is what it is. Like, a little medevac was added that floats around above the Reaper.
Yeah.
It heals and it runs himself, and right. It has vision up there. Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah. And then also, the Hellion... they changed the way the Battle Hellions work versus the normal Hellions. The Battle Hellions now with the armory requirement. And a new upgrade that allows the transformation. I also heard there's a bug where you can, like, load a Battle Hellion into a bunker. Don't think that's intentional.
No, because they're classified as bio now. So
really,
like, bio units. Yeah, in battle mode they are bionic unit or
interesting
bio whatever the word is. They're bio units, so I think they're supposed to be able to go into bunkers.
Huh. And
which is scary as hell.
It is scary, and the Widowmines have removed the armory requirement. So I know we don't have Pan User here, but thoughts on the Terran? I don't think even the Terrans were necessarily, except for Pan User, like upset about the Warhand too much.
No. Well, I know DeMuslim, he's the Terran we hear from the most. I know he was absolutely fine with the Warhound being removed. He just kind of despised it. I think the Battle Hellion change is good. I wasn't too concerned about it, but I would have been Roach every game just out of fear. A lot of the Zergs were saying Battle Hellions are way too good early on. I could certainly see that being the case. And I hope that the change to Mines made them better and more interesting, because just being a StarCraft 1 Terran, I have a very fond memory of Spider Mines. Other players might not. But it would be really cool if Mines could be integrated in the game very well. Again, that's just that kind of positional control. It feels very Terran-y, particularly mech, like controlling the map.
Yeah.
Having to be set up beforehand, having to outthink your opponent, be very strategical with your placement, having limited resources that can be super effective if used well. And if planned out well, it feels right as long as it's implemented correctly. So hopefully they're moving towards that.
Well, I'm sure we're going to be getting another patch here soon. As they said, it sounded like they wanted to be patching quite a bit.
Which is a really good thing. That's another thing. It's also part of the reason I haven't really been playing it. When I saw that they actually removed the Warhound and made such massive changes to Protoss, they're willing to make such huge changes to the game, which is a really, really good thing, because it did pretty big changes, and it's good that they're willing to readjust what they were thinking about it, but also it means that the release game is not going to be anything at all like it is now, so I figured I didn't really want to spend too much time. And yeah, Jeff called that.
Jeff, good job. Well done.
Sometimes I like to be called smart.
Sometimes. All right, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to finish off some of our topics here. I know it says Valencia Esports Congress. It's said that for quite a while. We're going to talk a little bit about the CSL news and the Azubu Collegiate Champions. Then talk a little bit about Root Puck and some things that kind of came up recently and then last night. And then I think we'll talk about some other stuff. Maybe take some open phones, etc. So, guys, keep it here on Inside the Game. We'll be back with more after this short commercial break. Don't go away. All right, welcome back to the second half of Inside the Game, episode 54. Oops, wrong one. That would be right. Welcome back, EG Idra and EG Ink Control. Going to talk about a couple of things before we get into our heavy-hitting topic. Let's talk about this. I've always found that the collegiate efforts for competition have been really, really phenomenal. Yep. And, you know, shame on me and for a lot of the other community for not necessarily highlighting some of the efforts that these guys have done over several years, going all the way back to Brood War even, and some other games for some of these organizations. But they continue to bust their ass. They continue to do an almost thankless job in a lot of cases. And I think that this is probably one of the most exciting news items to come out of a collegiate league. This one coming out of the Collegiate Star League.
Yep.
And it being the Azubu Collegiate Star League Collegiate Champions. And, I mean, it's pretty simple. Anyone who is a college student in the U.S., in Europe, and in Asia can apply and or register. There's no registration fees. And they're giving away a shitload of money.
$182,000 in prizes. They have a pizza party like contest that they're doing. It's just, for me, getting even away from the Azubu sponsorship, the CSL people have been doing such an amazing job of making this like an entire different StarCraft universe that's really important to a lot of people. A lot of college students have a lot of, like, they get really excited about playing on behalf of their college, and then the little rivalries inside the states or the country. It's really fun. I've peeked in and out of a few of their competitions, and they take it super serious. They have jerseys on some teams. They like the idea of winning your ace match for your college is this. It's just really, really cool to do this for people that are also getting an education, and they're not, you know, they're not better or worse than anybody. I'm not going to make that point, but I guess the point I'm trying to make is, they're doing something that's a big time commitment, but they're still able to compete in StarCraft in their own way, and they're being rewarded for it with, you know, really official leagues, big sponsorships, and cool stuff like that.
Yeah, I personally don't really pay much attention to it, but it's awesome in so many ways. I remember back in Brood War when it was just like this, just people, like, not competitive players at all. They were just doing it for fun. This was, like, their passion. And they dedicated their time. There was no money at all in it. Nothing rewarding except for the fact that you got to play and represent your college. And now it's, like, kind of an alternative to actually doing pro gaming. Like, you can do school at the same time, but then you also still get to compete. You still have a reason to practice and something to motivate you. Which is really, really good. It's a million times better than the alternative, which is, well, you drop out of school and you go become a pro gamer, or you're kind of just playing casually for fun. Plus all the other cool stuff that Jeff said, like everyone loves a rivalry, and this is just so much easier to have a rivalry when you have this, because you have all the built-in stuff like region, state, school, and whatnot. Plus you're representing a team, something bigger than yourself, even if you're not really good enough to get on to a pro team. And I mean, a lot of people who have to do college, that you just don't have enough time to actually play competitively. So then still being able to represent a team and having people depend on you is just a great outlet for people who want to do this but also don't want to mess up the rest of their lives. It's really awesome.
That's a fantastic point, Greg. You know, and someone in the chat mentioned Suppy, and, you know, you're right. Like, that's a great example.
There's lots of great players, actually.
Yeah. And CS Star League is in. They're saying they dropped the registration fee with the new sponsorship. So someone was asking, are you sure it's free wheat? And I double-checked, and he said I was pretty sure it was $150. The only $150 I found was that they're going to be giving away $150 to 10 teams to have, a pizza party. So that's not too shabby. But again, I we look at professional sports and we often say, like, we should really model ourselves after professional sports. Well, one of the most important aspects of professional sports is college sports, because it is a whole nother outlet for talent. It is a feeder into the professional leagues. It has, obviously, the school associations that transcend generations of families. You know, like, I just think about how my kid is automatically a Husker fan just because he was born in Nebraska. You know, like that.
Yeah.
That we're obviously we're not there yet. We're not going to be there for a long time. But still, even in the chat, like I see people already rooting for their schools, right? So having that nice parkour there, Machine. Having that outlet, just like you said, and still being able to support the educational side of it, and have that team unity, and having some pros involved, it's just so fucking fantastic. And yeah. I really congratulate these guys for landing this. Totally awesome.
And as it becomes bigger, that also introduces more people to esports. It's like people at the schools, they just become interested in because yeah. it's their school being represented in a competition in some way, and everyone gets interested in that. And then you'll have people who follow it all the way through and actually become esports fans just because it's something that interests them. So it not only is it great for them, it's exposing more people to our community.
Exactly right. It's also just good for, like, to build off of DJ Weed's point, like, a lot of people go to college and that's where their game dies, or there's no, like, they look at StarCraft II as a whole and they're like, well, I can either join EG or some, you know, Complexity, or I subject myself to really never, you know, never playing competitively. Like, it's just so alienating. But with the college level, that acts as a doorway where maybe they try out for the team and they're, you know, they work their way up and they eventually start become a starter. And that kind of pushes them, as Greg said, only from the spectator perspective, I guess, towards becoming an actual professional. It becomes more reachable to them, is I guess the point I'm trying to make. And that's where Korea has a huge advantage on a lot of us, is that if I'm a Korean looking at StarCraft II, it's much more, I can reasonably say, there's more here for me to play for. I could get somewhere with this. Whereas in North America and elsewhere, not so much.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that. But if you are interested, your school is interested, I'm sure if you've competed in a CSL before, you're already going to be all over this. But maybe you're a new guy. You've started a StarCraft club at your college. Now you have something that you guys can work for. And this was just announced recently, so we'll be getting more news on that as it comes out. Last but not least, before we open up the phone lines, we talk about a few results as well. Let me tell from my perspective, if you don't mind, in control, about sure. how I had kind of heard all this. So, as I'm sure you guys know, that Jeff does a lot of the broadcasting for the Evil Geniuses Masters Cup. I've been tuned in last night to watch Acer versus Root, and the match between Scarlet and Puck came up. Now, obviously, many people already know about Scarlet, who she is, her story, etc. And recently, Root Puck, who, you know, I can't really say has a similar story because that just wouldn't be fair. I don't know enough details, but has some details that are similar in that he also has come out, says that he is transgender, and that he wanted to let the sort of everyone know so that he could feel more comfortable about it coming out. And when this all went down, I had heard you say she, but then refer to the Protoss. And so I was really confused as I was watching the matchup. And then after one of the games, you sort of cleared it up and said, guys, this isn't something that I would joke about. This is legitimate. It was posted on Root Gaming's website. You know, it didn't get the like as much news as maybe Scarlet may have gotten, but this is a real thing. And so I went there, I checked it out. First off, Jeff, like, you did an excellent job of handling that, by the way, because again, I've known you. You're a good friend. At first, I totally thought you were trolling, but when you came out and you're like, no, guys, this isn't something that I would joke about. Like, I knew right then that this was that it was legitimate. But it brought up a lot of points because there were still people that didn't believe it or then immediately kind of transcended into the, oh, well, I'm just going to be a total douchebag about it now. But you were kind of right in the heart of it. So what do you want to say about it?
I think for me, I mean, there's a couple things to take away from this that I think is worthy of the discussion. First and foremost, after that night, I got a lot of messages from people from that community, the LGBT community, and they were kind of talking about how one of the biggest hurdles for them is that while this is something that's really important to discuss, they actually don't want it to be all about that, and they don't want to have to deal with it as their entire identity in terms of, like, everyone's, that's all they are and that's all we talk about. So it's kind of a weird subject because on the one hand, it's so foreign to me and a lot of other gamers that I feel like it bears at least some discussion so we can educate ourselves about it and become more accommodating and compassionate. But then on the other side, we don't want to, like, Scarlett is also a fantastic player. Puck is also a fantastic player. And they shouldn't lose out on being great players just because of their personal life and how they identify themselves, you know. So it's kind of an interesting subject that way. But at least one time on Inside the Game, I want to talk about this because I think, on the one hand, I'm really proud of the community. You see a lot of times where either Scarlett or Puck or some of the other transgendered or homosexual individuals, you know, people from that area of the community kind of come up. And there's always going to be those hateful comments. They're never not going to be there. That's just the way it is. But what I'm really proud of is that they don't seem to be the loudest voices, and they get put down pretty quick. So I think that's good. But then on the one hand, there's still those kind of comments. So if we could have one talk about it, put out the information, talk about how serious it is, and how, you know, as a community, we should do the best we can to be as compassionate and accommodating as possible, then I think we'll see less of those comments, or maybe it's just one person less that does that. Mission accomplished as far as I'm concerned. So for me personally, I'm 27 years old. I've never in person hung out with, been around, or talked to a transgendered individual. And for me, that created a lot of interesting problems. When I was talking about them, I had a very tough time referring to Puck as she, because I've always known Puck as a male, you know, when I've interacted with him or her in the past. But I didn't want to disrespect that person, so I wanted to put it out there that I'm trying to make this transition for myself and how I talk about them so as to not cause disrespect. And people are even pointing out, like, well, you did refer to Puck as a he a few times. And it's like, that's kind of what I want to talk about. We're going to make mistakes like that, but as long as they are a mistake and we are trying to do better in the future, I think we're creating a better community.
And
I'm actually kind of confused on that, because Puck, he identifies as female, but as far as I know, he presents as male. Like, he dresses as a guy when he goes to MLGs and stuff.
He just
so
very recently came out,
say,
Rick,
oh,
like
okay.
2 weeks ago.
Okay.
And that's part of the reason why there was such an impact, was because, yeah, for whatever reason, as we said, not a lot of people read that article or checked it out. So, like, for Scarlett, I think she had the novelty of being one of the first to kind of also be a great player, but also a transgendered. So a lot of people were kind of knew that and identified that. But when Puck did come out, it was weird. It was a weird feeling for me sitting solo casting last night, because I talked about this, and I get all these comments of people like, man, I thought you were trolling, and I was waiting for you to start laughing. And I was like, and part of me is like, holy fuck. If you guys think I'm capable of making a joke about someone changing their gender, like, I joke around too much.
Right.
I need to dial it back, I guess, because that's... That's actually, I don't know if people understand this. If you make jokes like that, and you're like, if I'm sitting there subjugating people that way, I'm probably fucking fired and excommunicated from the entire community within a day. Deservedly so. You just cannot do that. So that's part of the reason why I want to talk about it. It's because, holy shit, it shouldn't even be a possibility.
But kind of to that, I was, maybe I haven't seen everything, and maybe it's actually pretty terrible. And obviously Puck hasn't had to deal with very much, because she came out recently and most of the community doesn't even know about it that much. But I thought the community actually reacted a lot, yep, better than I expected to Scarlett and her rise to fame.
Yep.
It may be the part of that is just because she is such an incredibly good player that draws attention away from the fact that she's transgendered, which, you know, as a community, you're talking about, as they said, that's the better way for things to be. People, we don't want to focus on her because she's transgendered, but because she's a really good player. But overall, when she first came onto the scene, I thought it would be much, much worse. And obviously, you still get douchebags posting, yep, comments, but you get douchebags posting comments about us, too. That's one of the things that happens when you're famous. People pay attention to you, and some of them are assholes. But overall, the community's reaction, it seemed very mature and very reasonable on the whole, and I'm actually, like, kind of proud of them, just given, yep, how terrible they can be about other things.
No, you're absolutely right. And I actually, last night, spent time saying that I was proud, because I am, of the community's response. When I first heard about, yeah, Scarlett, I was like, oh no, because,
yeah, I thought it was gonna be awful.
If you're fat, or I mean anything, it's the internet. People want to get under your skin. They want to get at you. And for something like this, I was like, holy shit, she's not gonna be able to go anywhere without the most heinous of comments. But for the most part, the StarCraft II community was wonderful about it. I mean, Reddit, there would be a couple of comments, boom, they're downvoted. Team Liquid, couple of comments, they're erased, the guy's banned, goodbye. And in stream chat, they're banned right away too. So, I mean, people definitely are trying to do that thing, but the community overall is responding in kind, and that's, I think that's really awesome.
community does something right, man.
And then there's not much more to be said other than
I don't think so.
Challenge to everyone listening right now is inform yourselves, because the terminology of how to refer to individuals that are going through this or have gone through this is very different from common communication. Like I've probably in this speech messed up a few times. You're not supposed to refer to them as a transgender or something like that. Like, I'm still trying to learn. So what I'm encouraging people is to follow my path, basically, and learn about this and be interested in finding out what the appropriate way to handle this is. Because I think the more informed and the better versed we are on these kind of subjects, the more overall better we are as a human being.
I think that we'll just end with that. Let's all be better human beings. And with that better being said, let's open up the phone lines and hope that some reasonable human beings call into the show tonight. As always, you know the drill. You can Skype us at TJ Wheat, telephone 909-581-8519 while we're doing some phone calls. You could talk a little bit about some of the foreigner tournament results, maybe, but we already do have our first caller. Let's go ahead and take them. We have Red on the line. Hello, Red. Welcome to Inside the Game.
Hey. I guess I wanted to comment as far as the recent puck deal.
Sure.
One thing I guess I wanted to mention to, you know, Jeff and maybe some other folks is doing some research, you know, based on it, because there's a difference between sexual orientation and gender, and sex is what you physically are and gender is what you identify with. So when you I'm sure chat will like blow up over this, but when you refer to say Scarlet, I believe that you would not. It would be incorrect to say female, because female is the physical. You're describing the sex of the person, not the gender. So I just, even as far as what Jeff was saying, as far as, you know, learning and making the transition, I'm also in the same boat. And the first thing I did was just some research based on that, and just trying to figure out what are the good terms to say, the bad terms to say, and you just learn and pick up some things like that.
What's interesting about that is I've been told that what you should do is find out what that person prefers, and Scarlett has said she prefers to be referred to as a female. So I would find it a little bit controversial to hear that and then be like, well, physically you're still a man, so I'm going to refer to you as a man.
It seems like the best way is to use the pronouns that correlate to how they present. Like, Scarlett dresses as a female and just appears as a female, says she wants to be addressed as a female. It seems very disrespectful to then call her a he.
Well, no. See, I think that's maybe the difference, that you wouldn't say female, you would say woman.
Oh, okay.
Because woman is gender. She's
gotcha.
A woman.
I get what you were saying at the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you say she, like, she is going for a four-pylon
nexus?
Yeah, I mean,
you would still say, you know, she and all that, but when it comes to the actual term male and the actual term female, the use of those words implies physical attributes. Like, you are a woman, you're sex versus gender. And that's what I'm saying as far as, we all learn these things. We're all not taught them at
right.
school, you know, in sixth grade and sex ed. They don't go over these things. So I'm in the transition period too, and I just wanted to bring that up when it comes to research, that you guys are some of the forefront of the StarCraft community as far as this show and Live on 3 and so on. And when these conversations come up, and of course we welcome people to learn more about other people's
right on.
The way other people are, and the acceptance of, you know, everybody in their state. So I would be interested. It would be a hard conversation. One of my best friends is homosexual. And so I've been through this type of transition before, where it's just kind of like, well, I mean, I grew up saying, well, that's gay, you know, a lot in jest.
Right.
And then all of a sudden when he came out, it was kind of like, you know, maybe I might want to rethink my use of that and how I use it and project that emotion. So I just wanted to call in and bring that up and say,
we appreciate it.
You know, as this thing with Puck and Scarlett and everything, as we're all growing as a community, that just even learning what, from their side, what the appropriate things are and aren't would be educational.
Thank you very much, Red. Appreciate the call.
Could I also bring up one more thing?
Real quickly, man.
It's on the same topic. This is kind of, when I had this discussion, it was with another good friend of mine, and it comes to, I guess you'd say, titles. We were talking about the Olympics, and this kind of, you know, transgender type thing came up, and as far as when you say, you know, world's best man at this, or world's best female at this, what, how do you handle that?
I'm not sure what the question is.
But when it comes to, you know, transgender or transsexual folks, this is one way I'm trying to, you know, learn and grow here, is when you say like world's best female at this, world's best man, or the world's strongest man, for example, and when it comes to competing, like at the Olympics, as well as in you know, StarCraft, you have both males and females, and I'm trying to figure out how to handle this.
I think this is probably something that we're not going to resolve here on air, but Red, I just want to thank you for calling in, and I am going to take another caller, and I don't know, maybe that's something
that
we'll
have to
think
about.
Sorry
about that part.
No, appreciate it. Take care. We really appreciate your call. Bye-bye. All right. Next time, I'm going to be more careful about when someone's like, just one other thing. Because, yeah. Red, your call was perfect, actually. Honestly, I it makes so much fucking sense what he called and he said. So, thank you. Let's go ahead and
take
another call here. We got area code 508. Hello. Welcome to Inside the Game.
Hi. How you doing? I just want to ask a question to Jeff. And I want to preface this question with just a whole lot of love. I really love Jeff. He's one of my favorite community figures. I just want to ask him if there's any...
Are you kidding me?
Read the punchline.
If there's
God
any
does not
what,
want nice things to be said to Jeff right now.
If there's any what?
Is he still on?
Yeah. Look, I mean, the phone call's hello?
Ah, there you are.
No.
You said you're about to ask It Control something amazing, and we never got to hear it. You said something, and then we didn't hear anything. All right. Fuck, man.
Well, now I have to like sleep on this.
How am I gonna go to? I'm gonna be like in bed all wide eyed. Like, what did he want to ask Jeff? Man, he like gave.
Am I still on or no?
Oh, you're still on. But every single time you're about to enlighten us, you go away. Quick.
Oh no, there was no punchline. I was a sincere wondering if Jeff's gonna win a tournament. I really like him as a figure or whatever, and I like his play style, and it would make me a whole lot of happy, and maybe a whole lot of other people happy too, if he could pull out a tournament win. This is sincere. This is a complete reverse troll, but
no. Thank you very much.
Question. Let me answer it this way. Here's the deal. So I'm re-signed with EG. My new contract includes a lot of. I'm still the captain. I'm still going to be doing, or I'm going to be doing more media work. I'm hosting the Masters Cup. I'm going to be taking casting gigs. You know, one or two a month. Definitely my role as a player has diminished, and my role as a support unit for the team and for everyone around is kind of growing. My day is still going to include about 6 hours of StarCraft 2 to 10. I'm still going to train for MLGs. I'm still going to compete. And my goal is to win them. I'm not – never in my life do I want to go to a tournament like, wow, it's a free trip to Dallas. I fucking love Dallas. Oh, well, I got to get my ass handed to me. No, that's not who I am at all. I'm a competitive person. But the reason why I give you the background about what my schedule and what my expectation is that if you're playing 20 hours, you know, fucking, not 20, 12 hours a day, those people still don't win tournaments from time to time because there's a whole lot of other things that go into it. So I'm going to try. I'm training for it. But with my direction as I'm going, I'm becoming less of a player and more as a kind of community guy who does EG-centric work.
Yeah, okay. I really appreciate taking the call, guys. I love EG. DJ Wheat, you're one of my favorites.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you.
You might need to change to a different carrier. Just
I thought that was actually the first good troll we had for the first few times.
Oh,
it was like he was just going to keep pretending to
cut
out.
I know. That would have been so good. Forever, I would have been like, fuck.
But now if anyone else does that, it's not original.
It's
so don't
not. It's not. Forever lost. All right, we've got Dave on the line. Hello, Dave. Welcome to Inside the Game.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going
Hello?
Good.
Not too, how are you? How's the
Hello?
Show?
It's good. It's good. Dave?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's up?
Yeah. Not too much. Just saw you guys were doing questions and decided I'd call in.
What's your question?
I called in. Yeah, I have a question. The CSL, Collegiate Star League, it's a pretty big deal. Today they just announced they have like a huge cash prize, really big news for them. Combat X might be allowed back into the league. And I kind of think he's turned a corner a little bit. What do you guys think about that?
Wait. Was that him giggling
like
in the background?
He's actually.
No, that was me. Marcus. That was definitely.
Right.
That
I thought
was
it was
me,
a weak giggle. What do we think about Combat X, Greg? Take her home.
Well,
cheating trash, and he's also a terrible person. There's no reason the community should ever let him back in, even if he has turned.
Actually, Greg, I'm going to cut you off quick. I'm going to say, because last time I did that, you got really mad, by the way. I made you answer about a bad person. Combat X owes me $100. What do you think about that, David?
Well, that wasn't really my question. I mean,
it could have relevance to his answer. Yeah,
it's like fucking the way of the world, man. Spiderwebs and shit. Things sometimes just reverberate right back at you. You asked a question about Combat X. Greg started to explain how he's a douchebag, but I deflected rather to he owes me $100.
Well, fair enough. I guess. He should pay you? I don't know
what In Control is trying to say is that we'd be happy to give you our opinion after Combat X has returned the $100 to Jeff In Control Robinson.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. So if he did that, I think he's done some good things for the community recently. I know he's, to put it simply, he hasn't had the greatest past.
No, he hasn't. It would kind of be akin to my neighbor shitting on my doorstep every morning for like 5 years and then wanting to make some delicious French toast one morning only to find out that he is out of eggs and sugar, to which case he then walks to my fucking house and says, "Hey man, can I borrow a cup of sugar and some eggs?" And I'm like, aren't you the guy who's been shitting on my French porch for like the last 3 years? You are! Sure! Take some fucking sugar and egg. I mean, like, that's kind of, you know, I hate to be a douchebag, but, like, if you are going to create your name out of being a douchebag, then you've got to live with that.
Right.
Not saying that people can't turn a new leaf. It can happen. I've seen it. But, like, I'm not sure what exactly the type of answer you're looking for.
Even if he turns a leaf, he shouldn't be allowed back in. He's, like... He purposefully tried to piss people off, and he actively cheated, and he tried to be a bad person for a long time. It's not like he was just cheating and has learned that that was wrong or something. He knew he was being a dick, and he actively kept doing it for a long, long time over multiple games. He should be life banned from everything, from life.
I don't know. I think...
No, he's a
Dave,
fucking...
Dave, just out of curiosity, Dave, are you friends with Combat? I mean, like, did he put you up to this? Do you have have a vested interest? Does he go to the same school as you, and he might be a good asset to the team?
No, he doesn't, actually. He doesn't. I've met him in person, and I've kind of seen a bit of a progression. I wouldn't say, like, we're friends. I mean, I wouldn't say we're not. I don't want to be a dick. But I just think he has actually... turned a corner, and he does have some interesting play, and with something that's an amateur league, the talent pool, while it's impressive, you have players like Suppy, and with them going international, we're going to have Polt. I think Combat X would, honestly, he'd probably be one of the top, I don't know, probably one of the top 10 to 20 players in the league, I think.
Okay, Hey, appreciate your call, man.
Dave, thank you. All right. I just took your cue. He's like one of the top players. Maybe they're missing out on some great talent.
Callers. First caller, fantastic call. This call, not so much. But the common theme between the two of them, ask the question and then disappear. Let us talk about it.
All right. All right. With that being said, let's take our next caller. We got Clayton on the line. Hello, Clayton. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's your question? Clayton hung up. Clayton got a little bit of stage fright. We're going to take area code 818. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game. What's your question?
Hey, DJ. It's Duran. How's it going?
Hey, how's it going, dude?
It's pretty good. As you guys probably saw, we made a pretty big announcement today with the CSO.
Yeah. For all the people out there that don't know, maybe you can introduce yourself, Duran?
Sure. My name is Duran, and my handle would be Zaris, and I'm the head administrator of the CSO and have been for almost 3 years now, I'd say. Outside of just wanting to talk about it in general, I actually saw an interesting comment on the TL thread, and I wanted to get you guys' opinion on it. Sasquatch actually posted in the thread, and he made a comment like, what if all of the people in the call house sign up for a community college? What's kind of your thought about that? For example, how would the CSO handle that kind of a situation, essentially like a house full of pro gamers?
Well, don't you have, I mean,
college classes,
like signing up for a community college versus like having to have some level of requirements? Because I assume that this isn't like fucking old school and Vince Vaughn is going to have some sort of like, you know, and then he's going to sign up to play in it, right? Like you guys have some level of, yeah, right? Well, so
I would leave it to that, Duran, like without a single of a shadow of a fuck. Like if you need me to back you up on this, so if a house of fucking pro gamers forms and they're like, we'll take basket weaving and win the money, and that's their plan, you actually just get to go, hey guys, really cute idea. I hope the basket weaving goes great, but I'm actually God CSL, and I've decided that you're getting away from the spirit of what we're talking about.
Yeah. Is there a credit requirement? Like, isn't there a credit requirement for being a full-time student, technically?
Yeah. You definitely have to be a registered full-time student. But I guess the interesting thing is that's happening in CSO. You're seeing more and more players who are kind of becoming pros. Like Suppy, for example, is a good example of that. Or Kawhi Rice, who are sort of actively competing in the pro scene but still playing in the CSO. Or now
that's
that it's
fine.
Becoming more international, you've got Polt. So I'm wondering what, I guess a secondary question would be, do you guys have any opinions on possibly limiting competition? Like if you are an active pro gamer, regardless of whether you're Polt or Suppy or anything, you would be disallowed.
I don't think so, because I follow the CSL events and like some of the really cool teams, like that Texas team that has, it had TriMaster as well as someone else that was pretty good on it. Like they were
Heavens.
A stacked lineup. Yeah, Heavens. Yeah. They had a good team. But they didn't win absolutely everything. They lost a few because other teams had two or three really good players as well. I think you just leave it either fairly loose or like people are saying like 12 hours of credits or something like that. But I don't think you should eliminate pro gamers because there's too many people that are going to colleges but still play professionally. I don't think they should be punished
right.
for that. As long as you're a real student, that's great. But my problem, and I'll tell you what, let's get ready for this. Let's get ready. Because people don't know this shit about Brood War. That scenario of pro gamers and people like manipulating this to win a giant wad of cash, Korea is actually going to fucking do that. They absolutely will. And that's because you ask any of the Team Liquid guys that were around for the early TSLs, name swapping, having pro gamers play on your IDs, this is something that was actually done 75-80% of the time.
Even in WG Tour, that happens a lot.
All the time. Mm-hmm. And this is new to the StarCraft II fans. They're like, and Control, that's ignorant. Koreans are the most honorable people, and they all, you're saying they look alike, so that's racist. They're getting all mad. No, it's actually just something that Koreans in general have done throughout the history of StarCraft a lot.
Yeah.
Like, that's $40,000, and you should do the thing where, like, they have to take their picture with the money, and it's fucking, like, Nesty, and it's got goddamn Flash right there, and you're like, wow, where the fuck did these guys come from? They're like, we took basket weaving in Seoul, Korea. All the money goes to them.
Yeah, that's actually somewhat of a concern that we're going to try to be policing as much as we can. I mean, luckily, the amount of Asian universities will probably be much, much smaller compared to the American universities, so I feel like
Right. Hopefully
it shouldn't be a huge issue. Like, I would be surprised if more than 50 or 60 Asian universities signed up to participate. Like, I actually only know of maybe 3 or 4 that actively even have teams at this point.
And something Jeff said actually reminded me that kind of already happened. Like, universities in Korea would have essentially fake courses that are just incredibly simple and easy and light work, and pro gamers would sign up for it to then delay their military service, and just like the coaches would send in the forms for them and stuff like that. So we're actually just like one step away from that actually happening. But
did that happen in Brood War at all?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Oh wow.
I forget which pros exactly, but lots of pros signed up for courses at this school, and it was essentially a fake course. They did like zero work at it. They were just officially counted as students, so they didn't have to do their military service.
The library of college.
Yeah.
Oh fuck! I got library. AKA not doing
I think that. I think just as long as you require players to be full time students, like that's why everyone was spamming 12 credits about. As long as they're actually full time students, and I don't think you really need to go much beyond that. Besides using common sense and. Just say we're going to be subjective on some of this stuff. If you don't like it, don't play in our league, because no one's actually going to have a problem with it if they're legit.
Yeah, I agree.
Super awesome though. Congrats, man! I know that you helped broker that Zubu deal, and it's awesome.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm super excited, and hopefully, you guys might be coming to check out the event. That would be pretty cool. Which will be in February.
Well, hopefully we can. We'd love to.
Yeah. Yep. Congratulations, right, man. And we'll be looking for more info to come out of there. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
All right. I'll talk to you guys later.
See you, dude.
Thanks. Bye-bye. It's pretty crazy that he called in on a phone and just happened to pick the right number. Like, that was the phone gods were looking out for us. All right. Let's take a couple more before I see Goatless is already ringing.
That's our boy.
He's 20 minutes early this time.
So, yeah, he's super early.
He's on the ball.
We're going to take another phone call. We got area code 267 on the line. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game. What's your question?
I have a question. What if you have a split personality and each personality plays a different ways? How do you deal with that?
What if you have a what personality?
Split personality.
And each personality plays a different ways.
Then you'll have to manage your time very well.
Yeah.
What level are the two personalities? Like, is one a Grandmaster and is the other Silver?
Exactly. Then you should allow the Silver one to not play StarCraft at all and do all the other shit in your life, and then the Grandmaster personality, whenever that takes over.
That's an optimization of life.
You play StarCraft full time.
You don't know what the other personality does. You don't have any memory of what it does. And sometimes it plays in your Grandmaster's account.
They turn it into, like,
oh my god, yeah, that's what I was thinking, Greg. Yeah,
shit. Exactly.
Fucking Polaroids. Hey.
Thanks for the call, man. That was a really good question.
That poor guy actually has, like, a personality disorder, and we just ruined him.
DJ Weed's giggle is, like, something I live for. It's up there with Greg's giggle.
Oh, thank you very much for your call, man. That was awesome. Seems only kosher that we'd follow a call up with someone named Byron. So,
yeah.
Byron, hello. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's your question?
Hey, I was just wondering where the mailman is. I haven't seen the mailman in a while. I've been looking for some good news.
Is that the old guy from Family Guy?
That's what it sounds like, yeah.
Yeah, it's a pedophile.
Well, I do not know where my friends are today, so I could use some friends. Will you guys be my friends, please?
Pain user should be here. He said he gets done at the doctor at 5:30, so we'll hook you up with him. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
That's a pretty good impersonation.
I like it. Good. That's didn't take up too much time. Didn't have to be mean. Just funny voice.
Yeah.
Okay.
With a little funny voice. All right. Now that we've done Byron, actually, this guy, he stopped calling. I was just about to pick up your call, man, and then you fucked up. You had two names, and I was going to answer your call. Let's take this one instead. We've got Peter on the line. Hello, Peter. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's your call? Or what's your question?
Holy shit. You guys finally took my call, eh?
Do you guys hear Star Wars droids talking in the background whenever Peter talks?
That's just my microphone. I'm
sorry. Oh, okay.
You're okay. You're okay. Gonna be honest with you before you ask your question though. When Payne just said Peter, I expected a Peter from Family Guy impression.
No, I'm not that guy.
No worries. All right.
What's up, man?
What's up?
So first, I'd like to give a shout out to StarCraft Nakama, if I could.
Wait, StarCraft what?
Nakama.
Lakama?
Nakama.
How do I spell that?
Nakama.
Oh, like Nakama, like family.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
We're like a small group of Japanese enthusiasts that just love StarCraft.
Cool.
Yeah. So I'd like to ask you guys about speedrunners, because there's a big speedrunning community now developing around speedrunning games, obviously. And do you guys follow the scene at all?
I do. I do, but that's because I'm also at my computer a lot of the hours during the day. And if I get a tweet that the run is happening, I always tune in, man. I think it's fucking awesome, and here's why. Because you guys know what he's talking about, right, Greg?
Beating a game maybe, as fast as you can.
Yeah, right. So, you know, so like the popular ones are like Super Mario 64, Majora's Mask, Ocarina of Time. Fuck, lately I've seen Castlevania 3 speedruns. Anyway, the reason I think it's so cool is because I grew up like watching these videos every once in a while, but now you get to witness it happening live, like guys breaking world records, you know? And this isn't like, okay, guys, I'm going to play every song that's ever been in Rock Band on expert difficulty, guitars and drums at the same time. This is like, you know, someone going through an hour and 20 minutes and they reached perfection and they shaved off half a second from their fucking time, and they go apeshit. And it's really cool to see. So I'm a big fan of speedrunners. I think that it's kick-ass to see someone who takes their passion and now has a way to show the fucking world what their passion's all about.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I had a question about StarCraft II and speedrunning, because obviously StarCraft II might not be the best game to speedrun, but I'm sure that some people would be interested in seeing how the builds and the strategies for each level would map out. What do you guys think? Would you be interested in seeing a StarCraft II speedrun?
You know what the crazy thing is that how long would a StarCraft... Like, that's what I always look at. Every time I'm looking at a Zelda or a Mario speedrun, I'm like, what is the record, right? I watch these guys that do... Isn't Majora's Mask like 4-some hours or maybe even more? But like, to do a 6-hour speedrun sounds fucking crazy. So I have to imagine the StarCraft II campaign is like fucking long.
Some dudes do like 12-hour speedruns for like, let's say, 100% Wind Waker or whatever.
So I'm not sure. You know what? Here's my suggestion to you is that you, if you're going to do this, because it sounds like you might be doing it, is that you should stream your runs, but you should post your perfect runs on YouTube, because that might encourage other guys to then try to beat your runs. And that's been the big deal behind the speedruns, is that everyone's out trying to beat one another.
Right. Although I don't think StarCraft II would have a big community around it for speedrunning, at least.
I don't know. Who would have thought? Who would have thought the Majora's Mask would? Yet I see 5,000 people, fucking running to that channel the moment that he's close enough to get a world record. That's kind of crazy.
That is crazy. All right, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks.
Hydra, you're pretty based. Let me tell you that, buddy.
That's a good thing, Greg.
I don't actually know what that word means. Okay, thank you.
It's 4chan for like you're awesome.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Peter. All right, Peter's gonna fucking speed run StarCraft II Wings of Liberty campaign.
My favorite, and this happens almost once a show, is we, because you're so impassionate when you talk, you're like,
sorry.
Fucking speedruns is a cure! And he's like,
dude,
yeah.
It's awesome.
So my question.
Yeah.
Just fucking everyone. Greg like, and I are quiet and we're unemotional. We it's just, passion, passion! And the caller is like, anyways.
So, yeah, you're a little bit
excited.
I love
that.
overly excited about that. All right. Take one more call, then we'll bring on the Goat Lust. I wanted to take this guy's call earlier. It's John David. Hello, John David. Welcome to Inside the Game. Oh, fuck. John David. Why didn't she use the echo testing system, man?
Cool name, though.
That's why she's there.
He should ask the question about split personalities. Well, John, he likes Protoss.
David, David, he's a Terran guy. All right. Let's take this one. I don't know. So, S, it's just, it's a, his name's abbreviated to just S. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's your question?
Personalities. Well, John, he likes
Protoss. Oh, Jesus. All right, fuck this guy. I don't get it, man. It can't be that hard. One time I'm going to walk away, I'm going to call the show. I'm going to see if it's that hard to, like, make it all work. I'm going to pick up my phone. I'm going to call. I'm going to maybe ask you guys a question. All right. He's trying
funny
to
funny if you
back.
Really fucked
he's
it trying. Up.
All right, it's S again. Hello,
okay.
S.
Okay, can you guys hear me this time?
Oh,
is it
yes,
working?
We can. Hello. Hello,
perfect. So I'd like to give everyone a daily reminder to stay hydrated. And second of all, I've got a question for, I guess, both Greg and Jeff, but I don't know if you've actually been playing HOTS in Control. Have you? Or?
Either of us have, actually.
We both played a bit in the first patch, but not much since the Warhound was out.
Oh, okay. Well, my question specifically was about the Viper, and it hasn't really changed that much. So, fuck, I need to mute the stream in a second. How do you feel like the Viper overall is going to change the, I guess, the state of late-game PvZ slash ZVP in the sense that right now it's kind of, you know, Broodlord Infestor versus Deathball kind of shit? Do you think it's going to change that, make it more scrappy, or leave it kind of the Deathball way it is right now?
I think the Deathball might actually be pretty bad now. Like, the Zerg Deathball might be pretty bad just given the Tempest. Like, that range and that damage to Massive seems like they would be pretty solid counter to Broodlords. And the carriers are back. But Roach Hydra Viper was actually completely overpowered while I was playing it. Just, you get that army, you abduct all of the Colossus, and you get it before they can have a sufficient mass of Templar and Immortals and whatever else you need to actually fight it. It was actually, just, abduct is probably too strong, especially if it still hits a mothership.
There's...
Yeah, do you think that...
Does it hit the mothership?
Yeah, it did.
It looks ridiculous.
Yeah. It was really silly, like chain abducting the mothership chain across abducting. The map.
There's,
it looks hilarious.
Where is it? Actually, there. Oh, on the... Damn it, I can't find it now. I might have shut it. On the beta forums, the pro beta forums, I think it's... there's a couple of Zergs who are actually like, yo, this shit's too strong, actually.
Yeah, I just saw that thread. And yeah. It is. Or it
was. I
was
going to say, they haven't actually changed the Viper at all. I don't think, anyways.
I think they kind of... Well,
they
I
changed
mean,
a lot of Protoss stuff, though.
Yeah.
Protoss just got better, so maybe it compensates.
Yeah, they buffed the Tempest for sure. Or at least they buffed it against Broodlords. But they reduced the range, so I don't know what the range on Abduct is. Do you know, by chance?
It looks like 6 or 7. Vipers die a lot. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Do you feel like, ideally, what do you think the solution to the current Viper build is? Like, Roach Hydra Viper, do you think that Storm, like, heavy Templar play is the answer?
Yeah, Templar...
To make it so you have to have Templar. You got to feedback them.
Yeah, you feedback the Vipers and you storm the Hydras. The Templar 100% the counter to that. And maybe if a good enough Protoss was playing that style, because we see that sometimes in Wings of Liberty, like very immortal Archon Templar with stuff style. I could see that fighting against that pretty well. But then Swarm Hosts would kind of destroy that, I think. All just theory crafting. So maybe they should have let it develop a little bit more. But while I was playing, Abduct was definitely overpowered versus Protoss. I'm not sure how to change it. There was actually a really cool idea on the pro forum where Abduct actually just shot out an arm, and the first thing it hit was what it abducted, which would introduce a lot of cool micro.
It's from the guy Pudge from Han, I think.
No, Pudge is...
That's from Dota.
Dota. But that's
son of a bitch!
You're trying. You're trying.
It's all the same shit.
Jeff,
I
you used
what
a three-letter
like,
MOBA acronym Han. Correctly, okay? I'm gonna forgive you. For that. That was great.
I know all games.
Your effort is obviously being... I think that would be a fucking shitty idea, just throwing that out there. It'd be like, oh, great. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just me thinking, but I could never imagine this like perfect scenario where it's like, oh my God, there just happens to be this fucking gap between these two stalkers and I'm totally going to grab this Colossus. And then you'd fucking go and a zealot would run out and you'd fucking grab the zealot and it'd be the most worthless unit in the game.
The complaint about abducts is just like there's no way to nullify it. It's just either the Viper gets in range and you click on the thing and then
yeah,
it works or not. And well, there is not a whole lot of dynamics to that.
I think abducts should have like a mini game that once you actually hit them with abduct, it breaks both players then fall into a game where like the actual mental capacity of the guy being abducted is battling
you have to twitch or you have to like rotate like pipes to connect the arm that abducts them.
No, you just go into like a little game of that thing Kawhi likes, OSU, and it's just whoever spins their mouse faster, it goes that way.
Failed.
Yeah, Oracle. Well, actually, you mentioned it earlier, Greg, about you know Oracle using
the Oracle,
the face shield to like
does that
block
work on
that.
Abduct? Because I know it doesn't work.
Yeah, it does.
It works
on Abduct and Fungal.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it doesn't work and on Dark's whatever the fuck it's called, Blinding Cloud.
Yeah.
Eh.
Yeah.
I don't know if you
like
want
to
face shift
follow up,
but
to that.
It definitely works on Abduct and Neural, which is a pretty big deal.
And Fungal.
And Fungal, yeah.
All right. Okay. Hey, thank you. We got to wrap up.
Okay. Yep. Sorry, bro.
Yep, thanks. Bye-bye.
Oh, can I say one more thing?
Real quick.
K-pop is not fucking StarCraft related. Thank you guys for having me on.
Okay.
Peace.
All right.
I think you get behind that.
All right.
Except for In Control started the K-pop music appreciation thread on Team Liquid.
They took out my goddamn original top.
I love that your name is still on it, though.
I know.
Okay.
All right. Well, bring on the goat.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've got the one, the only, Goat Lust. Hello, sir. How are you?
Oh, yeah. Not bad, mate. How are you guys?
What? Oh, we're good. We're good.
Good.
I thought you were saying, hell, you guys, and then you were going to like be like, you're a bunch of fucking cunts, and then, you know, but you were saying hello, or how are you guys? I got you. My bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
We would
you guys are a little hard to understand
then.
Sometimes. I'll forgive you.
Okay. All right. What's up? What's good this week, man?
It's all going along all right. Anyhow, doesn't look like you guys have got a lot of time left.
We don't.
So I'll just
take time with you.
Just ask you real quick. In the StarCraft II esports scene, what do you guys think has been like the best development or like sort of area that's seen the most improvements in the last 6 months as far as like fucking broadcasting the game goes?
Oh, 6 months.
Mm. Not in-
well, yeah. You know, fucking roughly.
I think, and I hate to toot this horn because I love these guys so much, but it sounds like I'm employed by them on a regular basis or something like that, but jam. DreamHack, in my opinion, is putting together what is really close to the kind of production that I think almost all shows should shoot for, where there's a host, and I don't like when they only have two commentators. I think they should at least have four, but there's the commentating tables covering most of the events, and then even just the raw production of the audience, showing audience shots, doing content with the audience, having the Jib camera. They were one of the first guys to really put that on blast. Not the first to use it, I don't think, but one of the first to use it the way they did. And I think a lot of people talk about DreamHack Stockholm, and they talk about how that is one of the better like finals, but one of the better productions to be put on just so far. And I think that's a really good goal for a lot of events to strive for. There's been some weird developments recently where there's like dance parties that occur on stage after someone wins. That shit's got
to
go. Burn it with a fucking fire. That is terrible. But fucking confetti falling down,
especially
lights shooting
around.
With
Gangnam Style like coming, because then now it's got to be a celebration. Oh man, I saw that crick of the neck, Indra, like you just wanted to maybe turn into the fucking Incredible Hulk and just...
Yeah, like after NASL, me and Jeff were casting there, and they were like, okay, everyone involved in the show up on stage for the final ceremony, and we're standing there, and it's fine, and they give Stefano his award, and it's boring, but it's okay. Then everyone fucking starts dancing, and we just like sprint off the stage because we can't possibly be seen being a part of something so terrible and awkward.
I felt like it was the zombie apocalypse happening around us. You know in movies when, like, one guy gets bit and that guy falls over and starts biting other people? It was starting to happen around me and Greg, and I looked at Greg, and then the next thing I looked at is, like, what chair leg I was going to break off and start stabbing people with to get the fuck out of that crowd. You can't... Listen, Listen, Clutch, good dancer. Every girl, most of the girls in esports, good dancers. Everybody else, no.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
So anyways, the DreamHack Stockholm, I think that production, and we're seeing more events trying to hit that kind of stride. I mean, Greg talked about NASL step backwards, but in their other events, and I think even IPL is starting to have more of a host and commentators. I think that really jives really well.
I like that. I think that's actually great in terms of production. I think that a lot of organizations are thinking more about the elements of production. This is everything from like animations for victories or GGs to the, you know, segments in between episodes or in between in between matches. DreamHack and NASL have kind of excelled at that. IPL has done really well in that in the past, and I hope that becomes a growing trend, because that also helps with the storytelling overall. So
we've had that backwards, because you're right. You hit a good point. Like, we had MLG doing pre-recorded interviews with like Slasher back when he was employed by them. We had IPL doing roving camera crews. And then a lot of what we hear after that is it's too expensive, it takes too much time and energy, and we don't think it's worth it. And what's replaced in some of these events is like a rotating shot of MLG or some shit, or IPL AMD. Had AMD just constantly rotating around. That shit's got to go. That's not as bad as the dancing. Like, if I was forced to be in a world where everyone's dancing, or there was just gigantic emblems floating around for our like cutscenes, I'm gonna go with the floating emblems. But fuck, man. Like, I really like the idea of leagues pushing themselves further forward, and I think part of that. I mean, another good example is ASUS ROG, where Too Good had a table that was shot to after every single game, so they could kind of act as the glue between matches. I think that concept could be explored more. It doesn't have to be that it's just Too Good who does that. I think other people could try to work on that kind of stuff too.
Yeah, I'll just kind of jump on the same bandwagon. It feels like the production a lot. Everything about the production has improved. Like, it used to be organizations were just trying to figure out how to actually put on a StarCraft show, like how to not have the stream go down every other minute, and how to actually run a tournament and whatnot. Like, if you look at MLG Dallas at the beginning of last year, it was just like not a very good tournament. There were a lot of basic problems with it. You didn't have boosts. The casters were, you could hear the casters as the players. The players didn't look impressive. And then all of a sudden we go to Columbus, and it's like, it's a good tournament. Everything about the tournament itself is good. And so then from there, all of the organizations have been like, as they figured that part out, they've all started to move on to, okay, how do we make this look as good as possible for the viewers? And that has been progressing very, very quickly, I think, because that's easier to figure out than actually just fixing all the problems that can happen. And like Jeff said, DreamHack, and particularly ASUS, and everyone who works with Too Good, I don't know, I have a very juvenile sense of humor, so I appreciate Too Good a lot. whenever he runs something, I just laugh constantly. But yeah, DreamHack and ASUS and Too Good's production company, they just do an excellent job of actually putting on an entertaining show and keeping your attention between the matches, just having a flow and having good people involved with it. And it's much more enjoyable of a product to watch beyond the games than it used to be.
What do you think, Goatless? Did we answer okay this week?
Yeah, you sure did. And I just wanted to say that I can't remember exactly who it was that did it, but I think the biggest thing is, like, the downtime between the games and, you know, a fucking spinning logo and that being a real pile of shit when it all comes down to it. And, I thought the Apollo fucking weatherman fucking thing was just amazing.
Oh, right, yeah.
I can't remember exactly who it was who did that, because it's all starting MLG. To blur together.
MLG. Yeah, those are the arenas.
That was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Goatlust.
All right. Man. Thanks a lot, gentlemen.
It's great. Great to talk to you again, man.
Yeah, you too, guys.
Take care.
Take care.
Peace. Bye.
To add on to that last point, anything that makes Apollo look awkward, I'm on board with that.
Yeah.
Organizations should do more of that.
He loves it, though. He runs with it. It's pretty hilarious.
He does.
Oh, it's pretty hilarious.
He's adorable.
Let's do our final thoughts. We have the Masters Cup coming up next. Forgive me, I'm not sure. I think Empire versus Roxas, the Radical Online Extremists, is tonight.
Yep.
And do you guys have any idea who's casting? Jeff?
I am solo casting.
Again.
Azale is still in Canada.
No, his plane lands like tonight. He's coming back now. He's coming back tonight.
Shit, he better be going straight to the fucking studio.
I don't think he's in time for it. I don't know.
No, but he was with his girlfriend, and tomorrow we'll be united once more.
I've been listening. You've been doing a good job, man. But that shit's rough.
Thank you. Soul casting is rough.
It is rough. It is rough.
But I shall leave now to go do that.
Final thoughts, then. You start.
Shout out to all the sponsors, of course. Our title sponsor, Raid Call. But let's not forget the other people that make it possible. Intel, Monster, SteelSeries, Kingston HyperX. And then also people like Beyond Gaming and Sapphire. Doing fantastic work in esports. Really appreciate everything they do. I myself have been streaming every day around 12 p.m. PST to about 4 p.m. sometimes later. And then Masters Cup has been pretty consistently 6 o'clock, 6 days a week. And it's either myself plus somebody else, but usually it's me and Azale. So do tune into that. Some great matches. And in the near future, do we have anything fun planned? I don't really think so. We're kind of boring here because there's no tournaments going on right now. But cheer for Greg as tomorrow he'll play his match, but then on Thursday, I guess, it gets broadcasted.
I play today. I have no idea when it broadcasts.
You're playing today. Shit, yeah. Son.
Shit, son.
And then that's it for me. Peace. So just kind of stay on this channel, and in 20 minutes I'll be sitting at a table casting some games.
Excellent. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. Idra, final thoughts?
All the same sponsors Jeff said, of course. Special thanks to our title sponsor, Raid Call, then Intel, Monster Steel Series, King Sniper X, Beyond Gaming, and Sapphire. Thanks to all them. For me personally, October is still kind of a down month. We're heading into November, which should be a bunch of stuff. But in October, I am playing in the MLG versus Kespa MVP thingy. I'm actually really excited about that because the Kespa guys are like all my heroes from back when I was a Brood War player and whatnot. So really excited for the opportunity to play them. I don't actually know which matches are being broadcast because they said they were broadcasting a match that I'm pretty sure I'm not playing this week. So that's all convoluted. But watch me, whoever I play, whenever I play in that. And then otherwise, just watch my stream, idrajit.tv, or follow me on Twitter at idrajit, IDRAJIT. Thank you all for watching.
Awesome. Guys, thank you very much for tuning in. Want to have you guys keep an eye out on over on GameSpot.com. Of course, that's where most of the reporting for Slasher does his esports stuff. But for tomorrow's show, there's going to be some interesting news coming up here, so keep your eyes locked, and we're going to be going into full discussion of it tomorrow night on Live on 3, of course, here on One More Game TV. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in to episode 54. Jeff, go ahead and depart. We'll see you guys next time on another episode of Inside the Game. Thank you to our sponsor, SteelSeries, Monster Energy, Kingston HyperX. We're out of here. Peace, bitches. All right, guys, Masters Cup coming up next. Should be a good start here in just a moment as we have Empire taking on Roxas. With In Control on the microphone, thanks for joining us on One More Game TV, and we'll see you next time. Peace.